Jesus Christ is Lord forever. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is Lord forever.
Leprosy. Thank you for changing my spots. Thank you for turning me around, setting my feet on solid ground. The Lord has been good to us, church. He's been good to us. Right now is your opportunity to thank the Lord for where He's brought you from. He's a good God today. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. I do have a thought that's been on my heart this week. And I want to share it with you for just a few moments. I'll try not to be too long today. If you got your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew, the third chapter. You get there, you can say amen. We want to, right now, before we jump into the word of the Lord, we want to have breaking bread. Welcome all of our visitors by giving the Lord a hand clap of praise today and thanking Him for all of our visitors. Some folks that we haven't seen for a minute or came back to see us today. And we have some new visitors. We're thankful, man, for them with us as well. Amen. And we're excited to have you in the house of the Lord. And we hope and pray that you'll fall in love with what you feel in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is here today. And I believe He wants to speak to us for just a few moments concerning His Word. If you got your Bibles, the book of Matthew, the third chapter, the first verse. I don't know if you can hardly see that screen today, but I'll read it to you. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, a leathern girdle about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptisms, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. For I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. For just a few moments on this wonderful Mother's Day, I want to talk to you briefly about the church, the mother, and the threshing floor. The church, the mother, and the threshing floor. God bless you. You may be seated. John the Baptist, here in the book of Matthew, was using the imagery of the threshing floor to describe the coming Messiah who would separate the wheat and the tare. The tare was a rye grass that looked very much like wheat. As a matter of fact, in its early stages, you couldn't hardly tell it apart. Come on, if there's any farmer in any of you, you'll know what I'm talking about today. Sometimes it's easy to get things mixed up and have a hard time telling them apart. But John used the imagery of the threshing floor to talk about how Jesus would separate the wheat and the tare. We live in a very judgmental world today. We live in a world where people are just not given the opportunity to grow. But I love how that John said and Jesus said, let the wheat and the tare grow together. Come on, and in the end, I'll do the separating. Amen. I don't know about you today, but it's just something precious about seeing someone turn from a life of sinful nature, a life of confusion, a life of bondage, and to be able to grow together with the wheat. Amen. And let the Lord do the separating in the end. Hallelujah. Amen. I love how that John used the imagery of the threshing floor. There is a picture on the screen. Many people do not, if you don't study your Bible a lot, you're probably not familiar with what a threshing floor is. But there's an image of the threshing floor on the screen. There are dozens of references in the Word of the Lord to the threshing floor. Some are literal. Some are symbolic. In biblical days, there was no machinery. So after the harvest, there were no combines, if you will. So after the harvest, the grain was separated from the straw and the husks and the chaff by beating it manually. You see, they would go out and they would take in the harvest and they would bring it to a flat, smooth surface, much like the one that is up on the screen today. And they would take the oxen and the cattle and all of these things. And sometimes a man would even take a stick in his hand and he would beat that grain until what all it was separated from all of the things that were attached to it that were no good. Come on, you already know where I'm going today. Come on. He would take a stick and he would beat these things. He would take the oxen and they would tread up on it. And in the end, there would be a man that would take a winnowing fork and he would stick it in the grain and he would toss it up in the air. And as the wind blew, it would separate the chaff and the chaff would blow away from the grain and the grain would fall right back down upon the threshing floor. Amen. And there's many references in the Word of the Lord to the threshing floor. There first had to be a flat surface, which was smooth and hard. This was known as the threshing floor. The process of threshing was performed generally by spreading the sheaves on the threshing floor and having the oxen and the cattle to tread repeatedly over them, loosening the edible parts of the grain or the other crop from the scaly inedible chaff that surrounded it. The winnowing fork was used to throw the mixture to the air so the wind could blow away the chaff. It was a process of separation. It was a process of separation, and the Bible used it as a symbol of such. Listen, there's a couple of things that the Lord put into our lives today to help us with that separation. The church and the mother are the things that the Lord put into our lives to help us live a life of separation. Not a life of isolation, but a life of separation. Amen. And I'm thankful today for the analogy that the word of the Lord uses. Amen. And he put these things, the church, the spiritual mother. I thought mom was going to preach for me just a little bit. She got me back is what she did. She said that I got up and said some things that she was going to say. Then she started getting on my message. But the church is the spiritual mother today. And we have our natural mothers today. And today I give honor to both of them. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 31, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Listen, I thank the Lord for my mother today. I thank the Lord for my wife. I thank the Lord for my mother-in-law today. The Lord has truly blessed me. The Lord has truly been good to me. Listen, it was my mother that when I was a boy said, don't do that, son. I was a little less hard-headed than Ken was. I required a few less whippings, if you will. But it was my mother that gave me that direction. My dad worked a lot. My dad was he put in a lot of hours driving a truck for American Freightways, and he worked a lot of hours. And it was my mother that gave me direction, and it was my mother that said, "Don't do that, son. It's not right. Stay away from that girl, son. She's no good for you." It was my mother that said, you apologize for what you've done because you should not have done that. It was not right. Amen. You see, it was my mother that said, you need to hurry up and get ready because you're going to make me late to church. She didn't send me to church on a Sunday school bus. She got me ready for church. She put my clothes on me. She put me in the car and she drove me to the house of God and she showed me how to magnify the Lord and give him the praise that he deserves. Amen. It was my mother that instilled these things in me from a very young age. There was a process of separation that occurs in the lives of every man, woman, and child. And if not, it will lead to disaster. Come on, direction and correction come through a conduit called your mother. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for my mother today. I'm like Ken. Sometimes in our ignorance, in our youth, we have no appreciation for the guidance that we receive. But as time goes by and hindsight becomes 20/20, and we look back and we see things for what they really are, we realize the importance of our mother and our upbringing and the correction and the direction that they give. Amen. And I'm thankful for my mother today. I'm thankful for our spiritual mother, which is the church. The Lord established the church on the day of Pentecost. The church is invaluable in the life of the child of God. There is no value that can be placed upon the guidance that you will receive in the house of the Lord. Listen, it's where we learn to live a life of separation, not isolation, but separation from the world. It's where we learn things like come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come on, it's where we learn that sometimes we just got to be broken down and separated. Come on, Levi preached a message a few weeks ago, broken before you can be blessed. You got to be broken, except the seed fall to the earth and die. Come on, there cannot be any fruit that's going to come from that thing. Hallelujah. Amen. My wife told me a couple days ago, she said, my Lord, she said, you need to plant some of that grass seed throughout all the yard because we just recently put in a sidewalk and I planted the grass seed out there and that stuff, man, I put it all out there and we thought it was all dead. It was never going to grow. It was all brown and hard looking. But no matter how many times we see these things, we always forget that when a seed falls to the earth, it has to die. It has to crack open. It has to break before something good can come out of it. Come on, there has to be a separation from the hardness. There has to be a separation from the death. There has to be a separation from that which is no good. Amen. And I'm thankful for the house of the Lord. I'm thankful for the church today. Amen. It's where we learn these important principles. It's where we learn to care for our souls. It's where we learn the importance of foundational doctrines and things that the Lord will build a steady house upon. It's where we learn these things. It's where we learn to care for our souls. And it's where we get our principles that will apply to the problems that we run into in this life. The Lord put very instructive things in our lives to make us better, church. He put things in there to make us better. He put a natural mother and He put a spiritual mother to make us better. And He also put a threshing floor. Come on, those disciplines that Ken was talking about earlier, that was His threshing floor. That was His correction. That was His separation, if you will. That was His guidance. The Lord put these things in our life to make us better. And sometimes it's hard to realize the importance of these things that God has blessed us with. So can I tell you today, the next time that you feel the pointy ends of a pitchfork and you feel that you're being tossed up to and fro, know that it is not to hurt you. It is not to harm you. But there's one who has a fan in His hand. Come on, somebody. And He is doing what He has to do to make you better. He's separating you from the things that will destroy you. He's separating you from the rudiments of this world. He's separating you from your flesh. And He takes His fan that's in His hand and He tosses us up in the air time and time again. And there's this wind that blows of Pentecost that separates us from that which is good and that which is bad. You see, the threshing floor is not a bad place. The threshing floor is a good place. But just like our flesh, we always see everything that is uncomfortable for us or something that we don't want as a bad thing. But the Lord put these things in our lives to make us better. Amen. And listen, as the musicians come today, the threshing floor is not a bad place. It's a good place. It's a place where the food and the good is separated from the bad. It's where things become of value, if you will. The grain is worthless to the humans without being separated from the chaff. But to the animals, it's good, but to the human beings, it's not. Some interesting things today that I want you to know about a threshing floor. Joseph and his kinsmen. You remember Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers, ended up in Egypt in control of all of the food in that region, and ended up saving his father's house. Joseph and his kinsmen stopped one day. They halted upon a threshing floor to grieve the death of his father. David built an altar one time on the threshing floor of Ornan, which later became the site of the temple of the Lord. It was smooth. It was hard. It was steadfast. It was immovable. It was necessary. You see, when we first bought the house that we live in, the people that lived there before us had somehow snuck and built the back section of the house upon some 4x4s that were just placed in the ground. And Brother Corey's cousin's husband come over and helped me. We jacked that thing up with a train jack. We went down there, we dug out all the way around that room addition, and we poured a footer. We poured something that looked just like that. And you know what we did? We began to set block before we lowered that back half of that house down upon that steadfast thing that would hold it. It was solid. It was steadfast. See, the back half of the house, it was sinking. These poles just kept deeper and deeper into the ground. But when we poured a footer and we put some block up on it and we made that thing steadfast, it still today is right where it's at. Can I tell you today, there's a rock that you can build your house upon. Come on, somebody. There's a chief cornerstone that the builders rejected that you ain't going to get to heaven without today. You need the steadfastness. You need the threshing floor. You need the threshing floor. You need the separation. You need the correction of the Lord in your life today. Listen to me. David built an altar upon that threshing floor, and it later became the site of the temple of the Lord. It was foundational. Can I tell you today, the place of separation is an important place. Come on, Ruth. How many remember the story of Ruth and Naomi? Ruth revealed herself to Boaz on his threshing floor. It changed the rest of her life. She revealed herself to Boaz, her natural savior, on his threshing floor. You see, it was customary. Go ahead and start playing that song, Joe. It was customary in those days for people to sleep on their threshing floor. At the time of harvest, people would go out, they would gather in the grain, and they would bring it to the threshing floor, they would throw it down, they would do their separation, and the grain would fall upon the threshing floor and the chaff would blow away. And you know what? There was always a danger there that someone was going to come and steal away what was on your threshing floor. Can I tell you today, the enemy wants to steal what's on your threshing floor. Come on, the Lord, would you stand with me all over this house today? It was customary they would sleep in that place because they understood that that they've come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Come on, we're gathered in this house today. We're gathered in this place today. We are upon the threshing floor. We are in the place of separation. We are in the place that God wants to make us what He wants us to be. Come on, His fan is in His hand today, and the winds of the Holy Ghost, they're sweeping through this house right now, and the Lord wants to cleanse you. The Lord wants to separate you. The Lord wants to make you what He wants you to be today. It was customary for them to sleep upon the threshing floor. In this house today, the Lord is speaking to someone. He wants to do some sifting. Come on, the enemy wants to steal your finished product. The Lord wants to do some threshing. The Lord wants to make you better than you used to be. Come on, the Lord, listen, He didn't come for those that were whole. They don't have a need of a physician today. He came for those that are lost. He came for those that are sick. He came for those that are incomplete. He came today to put you up on the potter's wheel. He came to put you up on the threshing floor and sift you and thresh you and make you exactly what He wants you to be today. These altars are open in this house today. As we get ready to sing this song unto the Lord today, I ask you, are you willing today to stop seeing the threshing floor as a bad place? Stop seeing the separation from the world that we live in as a bad thing. Come on, I'm not talking about isolation. I'm not talking about being removed from this world. I'm talking about living a life before the Lord that will cause people to want to come out of the world that they live in and to live a life in Christ Jesus. The threshing floor is a good place today. The Lord wants to do some sifting. The Lord wants to do some threshing. The Lord wants to do some separating today. The Lord wants to create some value. Worship with us as we sing this song today.